This is Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. Overwatch League is ready to launch, a new Hearthstone League unites podcasters throughout the community, and I chat with one of the legendary co-hosts from Around the Hearth. This is episode 251.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, tracers and widowmakers, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to the show. I'm Ro. Thank you as always for downloading. You know, it's a new year and I'm ready to start it off right, so let's dive right into the show and take a quick look at the news as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. There's plenty happening in Azeroth over the next couple of weeks, starting with the Darkmoon Fair this week, followed by the opening of the Last Wing of Antorus on Raidfinder next week, and don't forget the Call of the Scarab micro-holiday from January 21st through the 23rd. Oh, and make sure you run 4 Mythic Legion dungeons this week for a piece of heroic Antorus loot. The latest PTR build for patch 7.3.5 includes the introduction of a new token called Purified Titan Essence. This token currently costs 175 Wakening Essences on the PTR, and when used will create a random legendary item for your specialization. Elsewhere in the Blizzard universe, esports is alive and well, with the Overwatch League starting tomorrow, Hearthstone's HCT World Championship takes place next week, and Phase 1 of HGC 2018 for Heroes of the Storm starts on January 19th. Speaking of Heroes of the Storm, the newest hero to the game, Firebat Blaze, should be joining the roster this week, along with a few new mecha-themed skins for Tyrael, Rhaegar, and Abathur. According to Overwatch game director Jeff Kaplan, new loot items for standard loot boxes should be available by the end of the month. And last but certainly not least, one final reminder that you can still participate in the 4th annual Ice Crown Challenge and donate to help benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. You have until the 13th to participate. For details, go to bit.ly/icecrown4.
Time's up. Let's do this.
It's once again time for podcast news, and even though it's been a few weeks since episode 250, it doesn't really feel like it to me because plenty of other shows also went on a similar break. That said, there's still a few bits of interesting news to pass on to you, and we'll start first in the tavern. While Overwatch League is definitely getting plenty of hype, there's a Hearthstone League starting up that should definitely be of interest to those of you who check out Hearthstone podcasts. It's called the United Hearthstone League, and over the next 8 weeks, players representing shows such as 1600 Dust, Coin Concede, Hero Power Cast, The Happy Hearthstone, and the Tier 5 podcast will be competing for bragging rights. For more information on just what this is all about, go to UnitedHearthstoneLeague.com, or if you'd rather hear more about it, check out episode 31 of the Tier 5 podcast, which features an interview with League organizer Ferris Biscuit. What other highlights are there from Hearthstone shows this week? Well, over at Coin Concede, you can catch an interview with Luker, including discussion on his experience at the WESG. And if you're looking for something a little different, you might want to check out the Velen's Chosen podcast feed, where you'll find, along with episode 123, the first of a series of lore episodes. Yep, I said lore episodes. Eve has been putting together these special episodes for Patreon listeners, but everyone will be able to get a taste of them from time to time, so be sure to check out both of those newest additions to the feed, which are now available. A moment ago, I mentioned the Overwatch League, and it's safe to say there are plenty of podcasts that are ready to talk about the first official games. Now, in the days and weeks leading up to it all, the commissioner of the league, Nate Nanzer, has made appearances on both the Overview and the High Noon podcast. Those were both a couple of weeks back, but the shows are definitely worth checking out. Speaking of I'm sorry. McCree, what time is it?
It's High Noon.
Thank you. Now that we got that out of the way, speaking of High Noon, congrats in advance to them on hitting the episode 100 milestone this week. And speaking of episode 100, more congrats to the Cavalry, which recently posted its own 100th show featuring a visit from original Cavalry crew member Multizord. Rob from the Omnic Lab can be heard not only on his own show, but on Watchpoint Radio this week. And to kick off the new year right, the waifus of Overwatch recently posted a new episode featuring the voice actress behind the ultimate Overwatch mom, Anna. It's Aisha Salim, all the way from Cairo. Check out that show. Waifus of Overwatch, definitely one of the most entertaining podcasts to listen to. Meanwhile, it's been a busy week for the crew over at the Overwatch League Network as they are a week out from the start of Season 1 of Overwatch League. Their Pick'em League will return for Season 1 with a bigger prize pool and more frequent prizes. Prizes will be given out for top performances at the end of each stage and at the end of the season. During the preseason, they had over 100 users register for the league, and they're looking forward to engaging with the community more during Season 1. You can find a link for registration to the league in today's show notes. So as you can tell, esports is definitely front and center this time of year when it comes to pointing out some interesting podcast episodes, and that also applies to Heroes of the Storm. If you've been following the scene, you might know that a pair of teams recently lost their sponsorship, and you might be wondering just what the whole story is behind that. Well, the latest episode of Lords of the Storm features Trent from the entry-level esports show explaining to TBK just how that all went down, so do check out Lords of the Storm. Entry-level esports is part of the Trolls.gg network, which also has a little show called Trollin' HGC. And over there, if you're interested about the HGC and the casters behind it, you'll definitely want to check out this week's episode of the show featuring Gilly Weed talking about the HGC North America scene, followed up the next week by Kaldor talking about the European scene. Lastly, in Heroes, the beginning of the new year is as good a time as any to remember the year before. Now, Hollywood has its Golden Globes and the Oscars, Emmys and stuff, and all that's great. But when it comes to the Nexus, you can find the crew of the Gankbush Squad doing their own awards show of sorts known as the Bushies. Check out episode 94 of this explicit cast in all the usual places or at GankbushSquad.com. And now, once again, it is time for a Lagging Balls guest update. First one of 2018. Feels good, man. You can find Thorn and Thist on the most recent episode of the Azeroth Roundtable, episode 250, as a matter of fact. And congrats to them on 250. Welcome to the 250 Club, I guess. You can also find Thist on an upcoming episode of the Darkmoon Herald. In other news, just to wrap up some things here, Convert to Raid has a new site. Check it out. They also kind of posted up the Convert to Raid Network, and you'll find out a whole group of podcasts are all being associated together and such like that. It's a whole bunch of great shows. I definitely encourage you to check them all out. Wowhead Weekly recently had a new host take front stage over at that show. You can find out who Annie Fuchsia is as she talks with Peculia about all the latest happenings in World of Warcraft and Wowhead itself. Of course, this is a video cast, so check it out on the Wowhead YouTube channel. And speaking of YouTube, to wrap things up, friends, I know that I have often talked about what is a podcast and what isn't a podcast. And I feel I've reached a juncture and I've made a New Year's resolution. I'm going to go ahead and include more shows that may not necessarily be on iTunes. You know who you are. Speaking of knowing who you are, hi Taliesin and Evitel, how are you? Nice to talk to you again, it's been a while. I miss you at BlizzCon. Speaking of Taliesin and Evitel, they do a weekly show called The Weekly Reset. And quite honestly, if you're looking for news and information about the World of Warcraft with just the right touch of wit, The Weekly Reset, it's actually a great show, and it's much better than the content being put out by Belular. That being said, hi Belular, I love your content too. I'm totally off track. What I'm trying to say, folks, is The Weekly Reset is now going to be covered by Realm Maintenance. It's going to be a part of the weekly podcast roundup, because while The Weekly Reset may not technically be a podcast to some, I've been listening to it every week, and it's pretty much a podcast to me. So, there you go. I've rambled on long enough. That's your podcast news. My interview with Reed Bobson from Around the Hearth is coming up right after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Artifact weapons provide clue to expansion release date. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. With the announcement in November that the next expansion would bring us back to our We Have Met the Enemy and It Is Us roots, speculation has been rampant over when our campaign on Argus would end. Many recall the way that previous expansions dragged on for longer than their content was designed, leading to flagging subscription numbers as people lost interest. While the exact date that our battle for Azeroth will commence remains a tightly guarded secret by Blizzard, an interesting tidbit of information recently emerged from an unexpected source: our artifact weapons. With a massive boost to artifact power generation, more and more adventurers are hitting level 75 on all their weapons. This earns them the achievement Army of the Light at the end of the tunnel and a new hidden appearance. So far, it doesn't sound that exciting, right? But what is interesting is that when this new appearance is equipped, zooming in on the weapon reveals a small label, and barely legible at highest zoom factor is our clue. Best used before September 2018.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Within the realm of Hearthstone podcasts, there are shows that appeal to players of all skill levels, and the same can be said of the podcasters behind it all. That being said, I would be hard-pressed to think of how many podcasts are hosted by an entirely legendary crew, And that brings us to this week's featured show. It's called Around the Hearth, and with me right now is one of the co-hosts of the show, Robobson. Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Hello. I'm fantastic, thanks, man. How is it going with you?
It's going pretty well. It's a new year of Realm Maintenance, and you get to be the first test subject for what I'm sure will be many a fun episode for 2018. Now, of course, Around the Hearth, that you guys have been around for a while now. I think you're approaching episode 40, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Next episode is 39. You're one off, man.
Close horseshoes, hand grenades, also Realm Maintenance, I'm going to say. but you guys have been doing this for a while, and I was wondering if you'd tell me a little bit about what brought the crew together to start off episode one of the show. Now, from what I recall, and I've listened to a few episodes, you're all from the whole Reddit sphere of things, right?
Like, ZT Dubs was the guy whose like idea it actually was. Like, just kind of posted on various forums saying, I want to start a podcast. Who else wants to make a podcast? And I was like, yeah, sounds pretty cool. Then, like, had a chat with him, and then I think, like, a week later, like, within, like, a week or so, we discovered Evil Swirl, which is a fantastic name.
That is a great name for a podcast co-host. I don't think you can get any better than Evil Swirl, to be honest.
Yeah, that's just his battle tag. It's just Evil Swirl. I don't know. I still, to this day, do not know where it actually came from. If anyone really, really wants to know why he is called Evil Squirrel, just tune into the show, ask him. I'm sure it'll be a fantastic story. And from that point, we had about four or five episodes under a different name, which I've forgotten. All I know is it was a pretty bad name, and it was kind of like we were sorting what we were doing out. So that has been wiped from the internet.
Now, as far as your guys' background on Reddit and such goes, one thing I have to ask, because when it comes to how I tend to digest a lot of my Hearthstone news and information, more often than not, I stay away from Reddit, because I hear Reddit can be a place full of sound and fury signifying nothing. When it comes to what you guys talk about on the podcast, would you say that a lot of your discussion borrows from what you've seen on Reddit, or do you go an entirely different direction with it?
I am happy to say that we are not Reddit personified. Like, when I first started out kind of following Hearthstone, I followed like Reddit along with everything else, and then kind of thought, these guys are very angry. And now I get like most of my information from largely Twitter. It's a lot less of an angry place. We can kind of find out the same stuff. There's Hearthstone subreddits beside the main Hearthstone subreddit, which are generally much nicer places. But as for the other one, yeah, it's a lot of people complaining that they don't get free stuff for the most part.
Where are our 30 free packs for our login woes?
Like, one thing we have touched on quite a lot recently is the kind of state of being a free-to-play Hearthstone player. Evil Squirrel, like, attempted to do a experiment where he just played as free-to-play for a month on, like, a new account, and it was so dreadful he lasted about a week. And there are legitimate concerns about stuff like that, but they tend to get drowned in people going, give me free stuff, or screw you, Ben Brode.
Now, I would imagine that the conversation on Around the Hearth is far more civil than the Reddit conversation is. I was wondering if you'd tell me about what can people expect from a typical episode? How's the format of your show breakdown?
We always begin by just like going over how our week in Hearthstone's been. We like keeping it kind of personal, talk about the stuff we can get over. Because all of us are like fairly different backgrounds, playing wise. Evil Squirrel and ZT Dubs are both dads. So like you get kind of some different perspectives on what they've been playing, what in the confines of, you know, having kids. Well, I do not. So, and I play like more kind of competitive stuff. And then we kind of move on to, we always like to cover what's been happening, like tournaments, the competitive scene. I follow that quite a lot. We always feature a deck of the week. One of us will talk about a deck that we are really enjoying playing at the moment, or we think people should hear about, kind of go over the cards that are in that, what to play it against, what it's bad against, that kind of stuff. We also have, you know, just kind of general game news, and we also cover the meta at the moment. So go over stuff like the Tempo Storm and Vicious Syndicate reports.
Going into the meta, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because we've now had a month for the Kobolds and Catacombs meta to settle. I've been playing a heck of a lot of Hearthstone, even though much of it has been Dungeon Run. I've made this month as a month where I'm attempting to get serious on the rank ladder to go all the way to rank 5. I've had an interesting start. I run into a lot of the same kind of decks, and then I run into a lot of weird decks that I'm not really sure what they're trying to do. I've finally made it to rank 15. I wanted to kind of get your early opinion of the current meta of the game. How do you feel about Kobolds and Catacombs, about a meta in which it's full of decks such as Cube Warlock, Dragon Priest, Razakus Priest still being around, and then your occasional Jade Druid tempo rogue and spell hunter trying to find a place in the world?
It is still, as you say, early days. So I'm still at this point kind of going, yeah, I quite like it. I think there's like enough really powerful decks that it's not kind of Jade Druid at the start of Knights of the Risen Throne, where it was just like, that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you play anything else? And it was pretty boring, just constantly playing Druid, 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 Druid. Razakus Priest, really good. Q-Blocks, really good. Two kinds of Aggro Paladin are really good. Tempo Rogues, really good. There's a lot of other, like, almost as good things, like Secret Mage. Like, you don't often run into, like, the same deck a few times in a row. We always do a kind of big card review.
Mm-hmm.
For all the cards just before every expansion hits, what I did say just before Kobolds and Catacombs hits was, I was concerned that the meta was just not really going to change, because all the best cards for Kobolds and Catacombs just went into decks which were already really good, like Tempo Rogue, Raza Priest, Jade Druid. The new cards have like freshened it up a bit, and I do like that.
Dragon Priest is happy to have Duskbreaker, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've got Big Spell Priest as well.
Right, the Spiteful Summoner Priest.
But Duskbreaker is a fantastic card, so
mm-hmm.
twos and threes. Like, I've always been very much a Priest player, like, ever since I first started playing the game. I was like, I really like Priest. And like this meta, I'm just like, Priest is quite silly at the moment. Like, Raza Priest is just, it is far too good. I am very much looking forward to the rotation, purely just to lose Gadget Zan. I think Gadget Zan has had such a negative effect on the game as it's gone on.
So many things are going to change when you take out Jades, when you take out a number of the tools that half the decks are using right now.
You just take out Patches and the meta's completely different.
I heard that Patches the Pirate is actually going to donate his patch to the Corridor Creeper.
See, this is the thing. When Patches rotates out, I don't think Corridor Creeper is even that big a deal anymore.
That is a good point. A lot of people are complaining about Corridor Creeper right now because it's in like 40% of the decks out there.
That's because Patches is in like 40%.
Which is a fair point.
Like, you have like these tempo aggro mirrors where you're both smashing your patches into each other, and then like you both have zero cost Corridor Creepers on turn 3. That's dumb. When you take out both of you having patches, that's still going to be like a 5 cost Corridor Creeper by turn 3. I do have one kind of main concern about the meta is just that some classes are just so bad.
In particular, Shaman?
Shaman's at least remotely okay in Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior's, like, the worst class. It's the second worst class in Constructed and the worst class in Arena. And it's losing, it's gained not very much recently, and it's losing, like, several of its best cards when the rotation hits. Like, Shaman was insane, and look at Shaman now.
Yeah. I remember when people were talking about how bad Priest was, and especially after creating a little card called Purify, and now look where Priest decks are in the world. One thing that has also changed, and this is a discussion that you hear on many a Hearthstone podcast, is about the growing cost to play the game. In particular, I think one of the most notable things that people are pointing out is that more decks are requiring particular epic cards in order to play the deck at a high competitive level. Especially, we brought up the Spiteful Summoner Priest deck, which has so many epics. Do you think epic cards are getting too much of a spotlight in these competitive decks, and that's what's making Hearthstone too expensive, or is this even really an issue?
I think Kobolds and Catacombs is the most expensive expansion to play competitively. just because of the epics. I play on all three servers, and just putting together some decks is really hard because I don't want to. I'm not in a position to spend any money at the moment. I'm a broke student. So putting together, like, Q-Block is so expensive.
Just getting the cubes alone.
Cubes, Corridor Creepers, Spiteful Summoners, Void Lords.
Void Lords, yeah.
And then, like, every legendary is, like, it's the thing. In Knights of the Frozen Throne, like, all the Death Knights were pretty just ubiquitous for their class.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them you could just play in, like, whatever deck in that class you were running. Like, if you had a Hunter deck, which wasn't just going face a lot, you could put Rexxar in. A Priest deck, you could just put Anduin in. All the, like, legendary weapons, if they're even remotely playable, they are in exactly one deck, which has already probably got about six epics in it. Any deck you want to even try already has a huge outlay of dust. Q-Block is probably the most expensive one to put together, especially like someone like Zalay playing a list which has, say, Void Lords, Skull as a legendary, Gul'dan as a legendary. Prince Tal'Darram is like super popular, and that card is otherwise trash. There's like 5,000 worth of dust just to try out this deck, which is quite a hard deck to play anyway, which might be quite dissatisfying to some people.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. It's like a lot of these decks that have those expensive cards, people could end up, you know, dropping the dust to get those cards, craft them, put them to work, and then find that maybe the deck isn't necessarily suited for them. Maybe they're just not wired to play that deck the way it's supposed to be played. I'm actually running into that with Cube Warlock, where I'm seeing it have a lot of success, you know, on the ladder, and people are doing well with it, but I don't seem to play it exactly the way that it should be played. And I'm just going to have to take time to watch more streams and see exactly how it's done.
Yeah, Cube Warlock is like one of the hardest decks to play. And before you can play it well, it's really dissatisfying to play. Because, like, you misplay with it and you just get stomped constantly. And, like, the main issue is, yeah, just say you have limited dust, like most people, or, like, it's on your alternative account or something. You craft a card or a deck because you think it's good, and you don't like it, and you are, at that point, kind of just screwed. I regret to admit that just after Q-Block became popular on NA, I crafted Spirit Singer Umbra, and then
they decided Umbra wasn't worth it.
And the next day, everyone decided that Prince Tal'Darram was much better. I was just like, oh.
See, I'm still running Umbra because I haven't crafted Tal'Darram yet, so I understand those woes all too well.
Well, going back to what I said about Pitless and Catacombs, kind of, it has very few legendaries that, as like a free-to-play or a starter player, you'd be happy with getting, because they're all so heavily synergy-based.
They're very technical legendaries.
Yeah, like Knights of the Frozen Throne, you got Lich King as like a free-to-play player. You are so happy just put that in every deck you have, because it's like a really good standalone card. I can't think of a single legendary in like this expansion which you'd be happy to put in just a deck.
Before we wrap up here, Bobson, if you can let people know just how they can find the show on social media and how they can get better connected with you guys.
We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. All are like the website /AroundTheHearth. The show, it's streamed live on Twitch at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday evening. And then the show goes up on SoundCloud and iTunes. SoundCloud is /AroundTheHearth. And you can listen to they normally go up around Tuesday afternoon. So you can like just subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or just download direct from SoundCloud, or just come and join the Twitch chat on Monday evenings.
All right, sounds good. Well, Rubobson, once again, thank you for being on the show this week. And I hope that many of my listeners who are definitely into Hearthstone, as I am, will give your show a listen to and see what's going on around the hearth.
Show. I look forward to seeing anyone who decides to check us out there.
We're approaching the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that's covering a Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between January 1st and 7th of 2018. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Blizzard Watch, Group Quest, Lagging Balls, The Sundering, Torn Think Tank, and The Training Dummies. Your World of Warcraft shows include Arcane Analysis, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Best in Slot, Chaos Patrol, Control Outlaw, Darkmoon Herald, Frazzlecast, Lion's Pride Tavern, Pwncast, Raiding Militia, The Starting Zone, The Summoning Stone, The Torn and the Goblin, Weekly Reset, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and WoWhead Weekly. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we add 600 Dusting, Angry Chicken, Around the Hearth, Coin Conceit, The Daring Reporter, Hearth Coach, Hearthzone Podcast, Hero Power Cast, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omning Zone, Tier 5 Podcast, Top Deck Kings, Felon's Chosen, and Walk to Work. What's March Workshop is your Diablo podcast this week. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include
Core,
Gankbush Squad, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, Nexus Trolls, and Troll HGC. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Junkertown FM, Overwatch League Daily, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch Hero Show, The Owl Recap, Watchpoint Radio, and Waifus of Overwatch. You can find the weekly podcast roundup during Realm Maintenance and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. For links to all these shows and more awesome podcasts covering Blizzard games, go to realm-maintenance.com. It's once again time for RNG, and you might be wondering, Ro, what does RNG stand for? Well, if you think it stands for Random Number Generator, you would be wrong. This week, let's say it stands for Ravioli Nympho Graffiti. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I do know how I feel about the beginning of a new year, and a new year means it is one of my favorite times in podcasting. It is a time for us to not only look back at the year that was, I did plenty of that already, but it's now time to look forward, and yes, that means predictions. That means several glorious minutes of me spouting complete and utter nonsense, 90% of which is probably not going to come true, and 10% of which, well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while, you know what I'm saying? So, here are my predictions for 2018, and this is a relatively short list for me. I could probably come up with twice as many predictions, but I'm trying to keep the show somewhat short this week. Anyhow, World of Warcraft. Let's start with a big one. When will Battle for Azeroth launch? I'm going to say Battle for Azeroth will launch on August 28th of this year, exactly 9 months from the opening of AnTauris. Now, if you've been listening to Taliesin and Evatel like I have, then you've heard Evatel mention that allied races absolutely positively will not be part of patch 7.3.5, and I completely and totally disagree with her. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Players that pre-order Battle for Azeroth are going to get early access to allied races, provided they meet the requirements. On top of that, people will be able to play as Void Elves, High Mountain Tauren, Nightborne, or Lightforged Draenei by the end of April. Now, some of you may be wondering, when this pre-order happens, does that mean I'll get a boost to level 110? You might say yes. I'm going to say no boost to 110 with the pre-order of Battle for Azeroth. Your carrot on the stick is going to be allied races. Have fun leveling in the old content of Azeroth. Now, one of the bigger points of Battle for Azeroth was Warfronts. They were a big feature back at BlizzCon when the expansion was announced. My prediction is that Warfronts is going to be the one feature that holds the dev team back a bit. In fact, I don't believe that Warfronts are going to be available at launch. Rather, I think we will see Warfronts come into play during patch 8.1 or later. Now, we haven't talked a whole lot about the story behind Battle for Azeroth. We know that Horde and Alliance are going after each other and they're going after Azerite and all that stuff. But what I really want to know is, who will the Game of Thrones deaths go to this time around? Will there be major deaths in Battle for Azeroth? I'm going to say yes. And my prediction for major deaths will be, on the Alliance side, either Malfurion or Tyrande, because we have to give all those Illidan fanboys and fangirls hope, right? Or that, or redemption. And for the Horde, I'm going to say Lorthamar Theron will die for the Horde. A lot of you may be wondering who Lorthamar Theron is. I don't blame you for not remembering. It's fine. It's a meme. Anyhow, Lorthamar Theron will die, and that will result in Lady Liadrin, the more popular Blood Elf, taking a leadership role for Silvermoon. Speaking of leadership roles, deceased Warchief Vol'jin is going to have a role to play during Battle for Azeroth. We've been teased as much, but I think more specifically, he, or rather his spirit, is going to have a role to play during the raid on the Titan facility in Zandalar. Also, in that Titan facility raid on Zandalar, I predict that Hakkar the Blood Flayer, who is a troll blood god, and we've seen there's a whole lot of blood going on at that Titan facility, Hakkar the Blood Flayer will either be the penultimate or final boss of that raid. Those are my Warcraft predictions. Moving on to Hearthstone. 2018, we are seeing the end of the Year of the Mammoth. What will the next year be called? I'm predicting it will be called the Year of the Phoenix. Sorry, Jocelyn, no unicorns this time around. Now, if all goes as it did last year, we're going to get three sets, and I don't know which order these will come out, but here are my three ideas for the general themes of those sets. One is going to involve time travel. Another set is going to have a strong emphasis on Ulduar or just Titans in general. The final set is going to be the wackier set of the three. Well, it may not happen at the end, but at any rate, the wackier set of the three is going to be... Are you ready for this?
Orcs in Space!
You've heard it here first. Orcs in Space. And I'm not talking StarCraft, I mean actual orcs in space, guys. As far as other Hearthstone predictions go, I think in one of those three sets, minion type is going to matter a lot more. It's only a matter of time before they make further use of minion types. I don't think we're going to have a set necessarily where one minion type is super dominant. Rather, I think we're just going to see a lot of older cards get minion types, along with minion types being added to new cards, and minion type is just going to matter a lot more. Sorry Murlocs, sorry Mechs, sorry Elementals, and Dragons, but hey, Gnomes need a minion type too, I'm just saying. We're also going to see a new set of hero cards, which can change our hero power, but these won't necessarily be legendary or very powerful hero cards. Rather, they'll be a cheap way to alter your hero power and play your class in a different way. For instance, what if instead of Life Tap for Warlock, you had a hero power that allowed you to... do -1/-1 on a minion, something like that. Just ways to kind of change up your hero power and make it more significant. A hero power that allowed you to basically be an affliction warlock would be amazing. And there are ways that other classes could take advantage of that as well. One of the more popular things in last year from Hearthstone, of course, was dungeon runs. They are so popular that we're either going to see something very similar as far as a new dungeon run goes, or an expansion to the system that's already in place, such as maybe additional final bosses. And my final prediction for Hearthstone is a sad one. Still, no tournament mode in 2018, and I really hope I'm wrong on that one. Moving on to Heroes of the Storm. So in 2017, we had 15 new heroes. In 2018, I'm actually going to predict that we get fewer, but not too many fewer. I'm going to predict 12 new heroes, including Blaze, of course. As for the other 11 heroes, from Warcraft, we'll have Brawl Bear Mantle, a hybrid druid character. Yeah, you're welcome, TBK Zord. Lei Shen, the Thunder King, bringing on the lightning. Velen, because we finally need a Draenei in the game. And Kil'jaeden, who I think may be released not long before or after Velen, because speaking of Warcraft, this is the year that Warcraft is going to get its own themed event in Heroes of the Storm, and I will predict the Broken Shore, or somewhere on the Broken Isles, as a new map. What about Overwatch heroes in the Nexus, though? Well, I think we're going to see some of the more recent characters added to Overwatch become part of Heroes of the Storm. Sombra, I'm going to once again put my money behind, even though I was wrong about Sombra last year. I also think that Orisa and Doomfist have been created specifically with a MOBA intention in mind, so I think we'll see Orisa and Doomfist in the Nexus. And last to join them will be Torbjorn. A lot of people may be wondering why I didn't say Reinhardt. I personally would love to see Reinhardt in there, but I don't think we're going to see Reinhardt. For Diablo, we need to see a couple new Diablo characters. First off, we're going to see Mephisto. Second, we're going to see Deckard Cain. I don't get me started. I know what I said last year. We're going to see Deckard Cain. Look, guys, we're going to see Deckard Cain. It's about freaking time. Just stay a while. Listen to me. We're going to see Deckard Cain. All right. StarCraft. Who are we going to see in StarCraft? This was the hardest one. I feel like we're going to get at least one StarCraft character. And of the ones I could think of, I feel like it has to be a Zerg. And it's going to be Izsha. And Izsha, you might remember, is... one of the Zerg that helped Kerrigan out during Heart of the Swarm. I think she's going to be a specialist Zerg which actually summons other Zerg to assist in lanes. She'll be our first true summoner-type character as far as Heroes of the Storm goes. A very unique specialist, and I hope I'm totally right on that, because I think that would be a lot of fun to play. And my wild card for Heroes of the Storm, pun intended, from Hearthstone, Reno Jackson. We're going to be rich. As far as other predictions for Heroes of Storm goes, I think we will get 3 new maps in total in 2018, and at least 2 new PvE brawls to join the Escape from Braxis. Finally, this year, we are going to see the true beginning of an actual plot and storyline for this wacky fan fiction of a game. In StarCraft, what do I have predicted for StarCraft? Absolutely nothing. Sorry, moving on. For Diablo, I do think that there will be a Diablo announcement at BlizzCon. I do not think it'll be content for Diablo 3, but I still don't think it's Diablo 4 per se. Rather, I think there may be space for a Diablo mobile game. In Overwatch, well, we're going to get 2 new heroes, not 3. We'll see Hero 27 announced in April, and I'm going to predict it's the Queen of Junkertown. No idea on a specific name for her. Hero 28 will be the BlizzCon announcement, and I feel that this will be Liao, one of the founding members of Overwatch who we still know very little about. In other Overwatch predictions, Uprising, of course, is going to be improved and expanded on. That much we already know. But I think we'll get one additional event involving PvE gameplay that is not Uprising or a rehash of Junkenstein's Revenge. Finally, we'll get a new map that's located in a Canadian forest, because I feel like I have wronged Jocelyn by saying that Hearthstone's not getting a Year of the Unicorn, so let's show Canada some love in Overwatch? Also, in the Overwatch League, the New York Excelsior, the team I'm getting behind, well, I think they're going to get to the Grand Finals. But I think the Seoul Dynasty will also get to the Grand Finals, and the New York Excelsior will lose to the Seoul Dynasty in the Overwatch League Grand Finals. Now, of course, as a fan of the Excelsior, I should be saying they're going to take it all, but I'm making predictions here. As for other Blizzard predictions, so a couple of final ones, I have 2 of them, and I really hope the first one comes true. The big one is that BlizzCon 2018 becomes the first BlizzCon to be an actual 3-day event. By that, I mean Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I swear if they make it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and destroy Con Before the Storm and World of Podcasts, there will be hell to pay. So, basically, 3-day BlizzCon 2018, 4-day if you include all the World of Podcasts and Con Before the Storm stuff, because that's going to happen again, count on it. Second, a new mobile game is going to be announced at BlizzCon in 2018. Will it be the Diablo idea I mentioned earlier? That's what I'm hoping for, but I also won't be surprised if this mobile game is set in the Warcraft or Overwatch universe. Folks, those are my predictions, and when Yearly Maintenance 2018 rolls around at the end of the year, you're going to hear this segment again, along with some bells and buzzers, and we'll just find out how terrible a Roasterdomus I am. And that sound means something I can easily predict. Your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and watch some Overwatch League. I am so hyped for this. I think the production value in the Overwatch League in the preseason was great. I can only imagine it's going to get better as we head into the actual launch of this season. Folks, thank you for listening this week. Thank you for your support in downloading, telling other people about the show. You can also support the show by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. That supports also the Rolling Restart as well. If this is your first time listening, you can find this show on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and so much more. Don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there that are covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or promo to send in, or if you're simply a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow me @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Again, don't forget to catch the Rolling Restart, my World of Warcraft podcast, which kicks off 2018 next week. And coming back to you in 2 weeks on January 23rd, I'll be joined by Frazzly, the voice behind the self-titled WoW show, The Frazzlecast. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions Copyright 2018, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Called Arms by YouTuber ThizKids. Thanks again to Robobson from Around the Hearth for joining me this week. You can follow his show on Twitter at Around the Hearth. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.